Well, this morning, we've got a, we've been going through the book of Mark, and we're going to be talking about Mark chapter 14 a little bit, but really the character of Judas is not really one of my favorite characters. Is he anybody's favorite character here? Anybody ever known of anybody named Judas? Yeah, nobody names their kid Judas either, because nobody wants a Judas to be a part of their life, right? Even though it's actually a good name. That was one of the tribes of Israel, and Judah is really where it comes from, that Jesus came from the tribe of Judah. And you would think Judas would have been the best disciple that that Jesus had, but turns out he was the worst. So, I don't know. Does everybody agree with that? That Judas was the worst disciple? Okay. I'm just making sure that y'all know your Bible at least a little bit. But if you'll turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 14 and also to Psalms 41, we're going to look at both of those passages this morning. And because I really don't want to talk as much about Judas as I do other things. So if y'all would, pray with me. Dear Lord, we just want to ask that you'd be with us this morning, that you'd help give us the spirit of understanding, that as we look into your word, that we can be able to apply these things to our life. And we ask for strength. We ask for your blessing and just your hand over us. We ask, Lord, that you'd just guide our minds to be able to learn how to be your, your witnesses in this lost and this dying world. We know, Lord, that there's a lot of people out there that are just like Judas, who really just don't believe that you are who you said you are. And they're willing to turn their back and rebel against you, and maybe even turn you into something that you're not, because they don't believe properly. And we ask, Lord, that you would give us the right faith, the right understanding, to be able to live the life as you have said it before us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, in Mark chapter 14, a couple of different verses in Mark chapter 14, verses 10 and 11, and then skip over to 40 and 50, is really what we're going to be looking at for the character representation. But we have something unique about Judas. Jesus has just told his disciples that I am going to go to the cross. And none of the disciples are really liking this. And then this lady comes in and washes Jesus' feet with her hair and breaks open this ointment that the scripture says cost a year's wage. And Judas, he's looking around. He's like, why did Jesus let her do that? That could have been sold and given to the poor. And the scripture tells us in other places that he wasn't interested in the poor at all, except for poor Judas. That's the only poor person he was really interested in. And he was he was the treasurer, and he had his hand in the treasurer's pot. And he was a little bit upset about that whole situation. And then he hears that the scribes and the Pharisees, that they would like to get their hands on Judas, or on Jesus. And Judas, and they're thinking, how can we do this? We need to get Jesus away from all the people so that we can bring him in, because we're afraid of the people. And about that time, Satan comes on the scene and moves Judas to go talk to those guys. And they say, yeah, Judas, man, they become best buds with Judas all of a sudden. They're like, man, we are so glad to see you. We will give you 30 pieces of silver for if you'd give us Jesus, if you'd give us an opportunity to get Jesus. That's verses 10 and 11. Skip over around verse 48, 50, somewhere along there. That Jesus tells Judas, all right, you can go do whatever it is that you're going to do. And I believe it's in Luke that it says that Satan enters in to Judas. While they're at the Lord's Supper. You think that's the most holy thing, the most blessed thing that you could be at? Satan was there. If you ever think that Satan's not at church, then you don't understand Satan. He knows the Bible better than most of us here. In fact, he may know you better than you know you. You're like, there is no way I would ever do that. You let Satan enter in your life, and you're capable of the most heinous things that you can think of. That's why you need to be filled with the Spirit. But there's so many people, they're like Judas. And instead of being filled with the Spirit, they're filled with envy and lust and bitterness. And when they look at Jesus, they use Him as a mechanism of merchandise. They're like, He's a way I can make money. He's my genie in a lamp. When I pray to Him, He's supposed to give me all the things that I want. That's what the prosperity gospel teaches, by the way. That Jesus is supposed to give you wealth and health and all that. That's never guaranteed in the Scriptures. Now, you live according to His promises. You may see some of those things, but it's not because God just wants, or you're getting it because that's what He does. That may not necessarily be the case. He does bless people. He blessed Job. But you know what Job had to go through? And Job was willing because he's like, that's not why I serve God. It's not for the health and the wealth. I serve God because He's God. We were talking about that this morning in the Sunday school class. I just never had thought about it. I don't know if you've ever taught a class, but you know, sometimes you get to this point where, like, all of a sudden you start teaching and preaching to yourself. And I made this statement that if you really believe that Jesus was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, how would your life really react? If the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords would come up and talk to you, how would you respond? Judas did not believe that Jesus was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords because of the way that he acted. And I just think, man, if I woke up every morning with that on the forefront of my mind, that Jesus really is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, I would act different. But I think a lot of times I wake up in the morning being more like a Judas than somebody who really believes that Jesus is the Lord of Lords. And here we have Judas. He goes to him and he leaves and he comes back with this multitude of people. Jesus goes out to pray. You think your prayer life is safe? If you're really living for Jesus, that's when Satan wants to get you the most. It's when you're down on your knees and you're praying for the hearts and the souls of those people in your life that you love so much. And that's what Jesus is doing. And He says to three of His disciples, would you come with me and pray? But when they needed Him the most, they didn't understand. And Jesus shows up with these guys carrying swords and the guards, a multitude. The Scripture says this, that Peter, he started to fight back. And he even cut off the ear of one of the servants. And Jesus heals him. But then all of them, they run away because they see the multitude is not there, and that's not what Jesus wants them to do anyway. And Judas betrays the Messiah with a kiss. He said, this is the sign that you're going to know. This is Jesus. I'm going to go up to Him. I'm going to give Him a kiss. And he goes up to Jesus and says, Master, Master. You know, typically in the Scripture, when you see that, that's a term of endearment. When they double the name right there. And Jesus looks at him and says, Judas, you're betraying me with a kiss. Why couldn't it be something else? Saying that you love me when you don't. What's wrong with you, Judas? What's wrong with Judas is what's wrong with everybody who's living for the devil. They'll say that Jesus is their master when He's not. And then Jesus turns to the crowd and He says, I was with you in the temple and you didn't come and get me then. Why now? Hey, it was all a part of the devil's plan to get Jesus. But aren't you glad that what Satan means for evil, God can use for good? And Jesus allowed them to take him. I like another passage of Scripture that when they showed up, they say, "We're looking for Jesus," when he asked. And Jesus says, "I am," and they come go flying backwards. That's one of my favorite parts of the Scripture. I'm like, he could have just done that. He could have just said it a little louder and they would have just obliterated into like atoms or something. They would have just disappeared. But that's not who Jesus was. He came for peace. He came as an offering. But don't let the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings fool you right there. Because next time he's coming back. He's coming back on a white horse. He's coming back to conquer. He's not going to be betrayed by anybody in this world. He will conquer and he will judge. And if you are on the Judas side of the fence, you will be judged according to your works. But if you are on Jesus' side, if you're one of his people, you will be saved and you will see everlasting life. So you've got to decide something this morning. Whose side am I really on? Am I more like a Judas? Or am I looking at Jesus and saying, "He is my King of Kings. He is my Lord of Lords." And that's what leads us to Psalms 41. Look in Psalms 41 with me. We're going to begin at about verse 5. Look what it says here. It says, "Mine enemies speak evil of me. When shall he die and his name perish? And if he come to see me, he speaketh vanity. His heart garnereth iniquity to itself. When he goeth abroad, he telleth it." I don't know if the Psalms to me is some of the hardest to understand. But let me give you a kind of a brief what that means. It means the enemies of God have no hope. If you know a Judas, if you are a Judas, you are hopeless. And that's not the way God wants it to be. He doesn't want you to be hopeless. He wants you to be filled with hope. He wants you to understand. But if you are an enemy of God, you have no hope. James chapter 4 and verse 4 will say it like this: "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is an enemy with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." Do not be a friend of this world. You're a Judas. You have betrayed the Messiah. If you are a friend of this world, don't be a friend of this world. It's not worth it. Do you see what verse 5 says? Their name is going to be blotted out. You're going to perish. Look in Psalms 109:13. This is a scripture the Apostle Peter will quote from Psalms 119. If you ever want to know, did Judas go to heaven? Psalms 109 will tell you. He didn't go to heaven. He never believed. His name perished. He didn't repent. Whenever it says that he went and repented, he repented of a fleshly way. Brother Austin and I, we were talking about it. He repented of the flesh because he knew that nobody was ever going to trust him ever again, and he was right about that. But he didn't repent to God. You're not going to find him asking God to forgive him. That never happened. You know, there's sometimes in people's life that their way of repentance is they repent because they got caught. Not because they're sorry for what they did and they want to change their ways. The Scripture tells us what happened to him. Read all of Psalms 109. I'm not going to do that today. That's for you. But this is what verse 13 says about Judas. "Let his posterity be cut off in the generation following, let their name be blotted out." Hey, Peter's the one who quoted this passage concerning Judas. Read it. You can read it in Acts, I believe, chapter 2. Judas's in this world will be cut off. The scripture tells us that unless your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, you will not go to heaven. Do y'all believe that? Do y'all believe that the scripture says that? I can show you like about three different places the scripture says that. If your name is not written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, you don't go to heaven. If you believe that, say amen. The scripture says here, the Judas is in this world. Your posterity, your name will be blotted out. Your name will not be found written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You have Judases in your life. Jesus had a Judas in his life. They're betrayers. They're backstabbers. They don't believe in the scripture. They are an enemy of God. Look what verse 46 says. And if he come to see me, he speaketh vanity. His heart garnereth iniquity to itself. He goeth abroad, and he telleth it. That's what Judas did. He came up to Jesus in vanity. Master, Master. Judas, you never made Jesus your master. You used him as merchandise. You used him to try to make a profit. You thought you could get rich off of the Messiah. How did that work out for you, Judas? If Judas could cry from the depths of hell, you know what you'd hear? Don't give in to Satan. Don't do like me and become a friend of the world. Become a friend of the Messiah. Serve him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And he would cry and he'd warn you, don't betray him like I did. I garnered to myself iniquity. Romans chapter 2 will say it like this, that those who rebel against God, that they have compiled. Did you get it up there, Caden? Maybe they didn't put it in there. Romans chapter 2, verse 5, it says, but after the hardness of their and impenitent heart treasureth up to them thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. They treasure up to themselves wrath. Is that what you want in your bank account? Wrath? Don't be a Judas. Don't be a betrayer. Make Jesus the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords of your life. If you don't, you are treasuring up to yourself wrath. Don't have an impenitent heart. Have a humble and a contrite heart. Don't do like Jesus that, oh, the only way out of this is for me to commit suicide. Let me tell you, the only way out of being a Judas in your life is to ask God for forgiveness. There's no sin that He won't forgive. He loves you. He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus. He didn't have to go to the cross, Sister Betty. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set Him free, just like the Scripture says. But He didn't do that. He died alone for you and me, so that you could be a part of the new covenant according to the blood that He shed on the cross. He offered that to you. He's offering it to you right now. What do you need to do? Be a penitent person. Be a humble person. Have a contrite spirit. Wake up in the morning saying, Jesus really is my King. Jesus really is my Lord. Not just any king, the King of Kings. Not just any Lord, the Lord of Lords. Oh, if my bosses knew that, they would be a different person. But I can know that no matter who thinks that they have authority over my life, Jesus has the ultimate authority over my life. And I'm going to not be a Judas. I'm going to be a servant of the Almighty. Look at verses 7 and 8 say here. It says, all that hate me whisper together against me. Against me do they devise my hurt. An evil disease, say they, cleaveth fast unto him. And now he that lieth, he shall rise up no more. Do you understand what that's saying? That haters of God, they may have plans, they may speak lies, but they have an end. If you are a hater of God, you will have an end, and it's not a good one. Judgment will be coming, knocking on your door, and you're going to have to give an account. Jesus would tell the scribes and the Pharisees in John chapter 8 and 44, he would tell them, you guys are of your father, the devil. Guess who Judas's father was? The devil. The scripture even tells us Satan entered into him. Where do those who serve the devil go? They go to be with their father. If you serve Almighty God, if you serve the everlasting Father, guess where you go? You will go to be with your Father. That's why Jesus would say, when you pray, pray like this: Our Father who art in heaven. Too many people don't understand who they're working for. They don't understand the spirit that's within inside of them. If you are in rebellion against God, you're not on the side of Jesus. You're on the side of Judas. And that's not where I want you to be. I'm going to tell you in a minute how to get away from it. But just know, that's not where I want you to be. That's not where God wants you to be. He wants you to be somewhere else. The scripture shows us how Satan works in people's lives. He wants to steal from them. He wants to kill them. He wants to destroy them. You remember so many times that these people would come to Jesus with these spirits of vexation and say, Jesus, can you get this out? We see one incident like that in Luke chapter 9 and verse 42, that when he came to Jesus, the child who was, and children can get possessed with the devils too. And what does he do? He throws himself down. And the scripture says that the devil tore at him. You know why the devil tore at him? I think the child was still fighting the evil spirit inside of him. But there's so many, they quit fighting the evil spirit and they just begin to work with the evil spirit. You want to know why we have mass murderers? They're filled with devils. That's what I think. I think I can show it by the scripture. That they're filled with evil. They're working for their father, the devil. What would they do? Anything he wants them to do. If you're working for the devil, you're capable of any of those things. The scriptures say that they, right here, he says, they are hater of God and they devise evil plans. You know what is also interesting about those same stories where the devil tears at these people? You'll often see this word, but, when they came to Jesus. Jesus is the only one that can save you from him. I can't. The smartest guy in Jonesboro can't. The best philosopher can't. The best psychiatrist can't. Only Jesus can cast the devil out of your life. Judas, why didn't you just go back to Jesus? Why didn't you say you were sorry? But Judas wouldn't do it. And you know, and that's what we see in this world. We see a bunch of Judases out there. They think, oh, I've got this, I can do it. And they can't. And they're going to have the same fate as Judas. Look at verse 9 in Psalms 41. It says, yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. Does that sound like Judas? Can you imagine? Jesus trusted Judas so much that he let him carry the money. Anybody in your life that you'd say, all right, I'm giving you access to my bank account? How many people do you have in your life like that? Hey, I don't trust my kids enough to let them have a part of my bank account. Anybody out there? Yeah. I've seen some of the, you know, older people, they're like, man, I've got to let my kids have access to my bank account. And they don't want to. They don't fully trust their kids. I don't blame them. Jesus let Judas have control of his bank account. It's like he was a familiar friend. You know, I don't think he started out like that. It never starts out like that. But see, he started to see something. I've got an opportunity here to advance myself. I can't see how following Jesus the way that what he's preaching is really going to advance me. So I'm going to start making sure that I'm taken care of. And he begins to steal. He begins to let Satan come in because he doesn't truly believe that Jesus is the Messiah. You know, we all have Judases in our life, don't we? I bet you could think, man, I know some people just like that. I can't trust them at all. I can't turn my back on them because I know what will happen if I turn my back on them. They'll stab me in the back. We know people like that. Don't trust them at all. And probably for good reason. What do you do when it's spiritual warfare? You do Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. Here it is, Brother Sean. We were talking about it the other day. I did this like 3 weeks ago, by the way. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand. There is an evil day out there. Satan's got a plan. Can you think, how long did Satan work to try to get this plan together, to use Judas, to get Jesus to this point where he could get him? What about the people that he used as tools? The scribes and the Pharisees, the priests, using the religious system. He got all these things together. He worked his plan, his evil device. If he would do that for Jesus, he'll do it to you too. Don't think you're exempt. The Satan's got an evil day that he's got planned for you to make you fail, to make you fall. He'll put Judases in your life so that you'll trust them. And they will do everything that they can to bring you down. There is an evil day. How do you overcome that? You put on the whole armor of God. That's a whole different message. But that's what you've got to do to protect yourself from Judases and these betrayers. But just know, if that's you, if you're the Judas, you will have an end. Whatever you do to God's people, God will prevail. They will be overcomers. Look what Psalms 41 says about the believers. Look in verse 10. It says, "But thou, O Lord, be merciful unto me. Raise me up, and I will rule, that I may requite them. By this I know that thou favorest me, because mine enemy doth not triumph over me." You put on the armor of God, you will triumph over the forces of the devil. But even at that, know this, that God has got you in His hand. Jesus says, "I hold you in my hand." And if that's not enough, the Father's got you in my hand so that you can't get away. He's got you. He's preserving you. We're going to talk about that in just a second. But He loves you and He's got His people. So even if you do fail, there's forgiveness. That just because the evil day gets you and you fail, the Scripture tells us that you can get back up again. You can have forgiveness. One failure is not the end of the world. Get back up and serve the Lord with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And next time, be prepared. But there is a way to overcome it, and that's with the armor of God. You can be an overcomer first. You don't have to give in. But sometimes we do. Sometimes we do fail. We'll give in to the Spirit, the same Spirit that conquered Judas. But know this, that God would raise you up if you're a believer. I hope you believe that according to the Scriptures here. 1 John 5 and verse 4 says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcome the world, even our faith." You want to be an overcomer? Live by faith. walk by faith. Paul would say in Romans, the just live by faith. In your life, live by faith. You'll be an overcomer no matter what's going on. No matter how many Judases that Satan has in your life, you can be an overcomer. Live by faith, even your faith. Look what verses 13, 12 and 13 say here. It says, but as for me, thou upholdest me in mine integrity and settest me before thy face forever. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. Believers will see God's face. Don't be a Judas. Don't be an unbeliever. Be a believer. Are you a believer? Not only will you be an overcomer, not only will God raise you up, but one day you'll see God's face. Revelation 22:4 says it like this, and they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads. Hey, God loves you, especially if you're His believer. He's got you. Put your life in His hands. If you think that you're going to control the things, if you think, oh, I can handle this myself, that's the same spirit that Judas had. Let God really run your life. But if it's Satan, he's going to ruin your life. Don't give in to Satan. Don't let him enter into the situation. Don't fail on the evil day. But if you do, surrender to him. Recognize that Satan got you, but Jesus can keep you. And that's what Psalms, the first part of Psalms 41 says. It's the call to be a believer. To be a true believer. Not just somebody who says, oh, I believe in Jesus. No, but somebody who really wakes up in the morning and says, Jesus really is my King. Jesus really is my Lord. Psalms 41 and verse 1 says, blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. What does Matthew chapter 5 say? Blessed are the poor, for they'll see God. Are you poor? God recognizes who you are. He wants you to recognize the state of others. He wants you to recognize your situation too. He will be your deliverer. Don't trust in your own plans, your own concepts. Let God be your deliverer in time of trouble. Look at verse 2. It says, and the Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he shall be blessed upon the earth. And thou wilt not deliver him into the will of his enemies. The devil wants you. If you're a believer, God will preserve you. Are you really a believer? Have you seen His hand in your life? Has He preserved you? Look at verse 3. It says, the Lord's will strengthen of him upon the bed of languishing, and wilt make all his bed, and wilt make all his bed in his sickness. He says, God will strengthen you when you're feeling weak, when you're feeling sick. God will be your strength. Do you know this strength? Do you know this preservation? Do you know this deliverance? If you don't, you don't know God. He is there for you. He says, no longer be a Judas. No longer be an unbeliever. Be a believer. Look at 41. Or 41 and verse 4. It says, and I said, Lord, be merciful unto me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. You see, this is where Judas couldn't get it together. He didn't recognize his sin. If you want God to be your deliverer, if you want Him to be your preservation, if you want Him to heal you, you've got to recognize sin in your life. You ever pray like that? God, would you reveal my sins to me so that I can ask for forgiveness? Do you want to see your failures? where Satan has worked in the evil day and you have sinned? Do you want to see where you failed so that you can be strengthened from that? You've got to recognize sin. You know, there's some of you that you know all this stuff. You know what it means to be a believer. You know that God, you're going to see God's face one day. You know that if serving Him, that you can be an overcomer if you just trust in Him and you live by faith. You know that. But I bet not everybody here knows that. I bet there's some people in here that they're just trying to make it on their own power. And they're seeking strength the way that Judas did. They don't even know. You think Judas thought he was the betrayer the whole time he was with Jesus? He didn't know. Some people just don't know that they're really a Judas at heart. You don't have to be. What does the Scripture say? The Scripture says that if you would just confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in your heart that God is raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You could be saved from being a Judas. And if you're not a Judas, when you see the Judases around you, you can know that God can save them too if they would only call upon the name of the Lord. Recognize them for truth. Recognize Jesus for who He is, the King of kings and Lord of lords. And let Him usher His soul-saving power, not just for you, but for those around you. He is the Almighty. He can handle it. You know, Satan thought that he had Jesus. He thought Judas was the perfect tool. But the Scripture tells me what happens to Jesus. On the third day, what happened? He rose again, didn't he? If you believe Jesus rose again the third day, give me a hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Because it doesn't matter what Judas's do in your life. It doesn't matter what Judas did in his life. God was the preserver. God was the deliverer. God was the one who strengthened. God is the healer. He loves you. Seek His face. One day you'll see His face. Recognize Satan as the destroyer, but recognize Jesus Christ as the overcomer. And He has told His people, I want you to have that same spirit to overcome the devil by faith. Not by works, by faith. The pianist and Brother Sean would come. Would you pray with me? Dear Lord, I thank You for Your love. I thank You that You saved me from being a Judas. And I just ask that if there's anybody here that's holding on to an old life, that they'll give it to You. That they really will trust You. That they'll let the Judas heart go. And that they would accept the Jesus heart. And that they will confess You before all men. That they really will believe that You are the King of kings and Lord of lords. And live according to Your power and Your strength. By faith may they be saved. According to the grace that You have offered. Through Your Son, Jesus Christ, who was not afraid to overcome the devil. He wasn't afraid of the fight. But Lord, He won in victory when He rose again the third day. And we know, Lord, that He's coming back again. Lord, may we be on Jesus' side and not Judas' side. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.